Chapter 5, Dwayne and Cece Reach an Understanding. In the weeks that followed, the coldest season, that is to say the best season, arrived in the very, very far north. The temperature dropped and the snow fell, and it fell, and it fell, and it fell. The cold, cold ocean turned into the mainly frozen ocean. The sharp edges of the world softened under the crystal white, crunchy white, at times blinding white, and at other times muted white of the long, long months of winter. Icicles now hung from the mouth of Dwayne's cave. Hansom's reflection pond stayed darkly ice-covered from morning to night, and in order to visit Cece at the shipwreck, one only had to stroll across the solid surface of the mainly frozen ocean. Swimming was no longer required. To say that Dwayne liked the ice and snow was putting it mildly. He loved walking on snow. He loved sliding on ice. He loved tasting snow cakes, and he loved licking icicle pops. He loved lying in the snow and playing in the snow and sitting in the snow while staring at ice shapes in all their sculptural beauty. There might be many things that Dwayne could do without in the world, but snow and ice were not among them. The nights were longer in the winter season, and that suited Dwayne as well, because it meant nap times could go on for longer. As a polar bear, Dwayne was not obligated to hibernate. Hibernation would be too much sleeping, even by Dwayne's standards. Hibernation would mean missing out on winter altogether and not having the opportunity to partake of all the things he loved about it. Still, as winter unfolded, his naps did tend to increase, stretching from hours at a time to days at a time. By winter's end, he could spend several weeks at a stretch asleep in his cave. Was he lazy? Perhaps. Dwayne didn't feel lazy. His long nap seemed in tune with the very, very far north's yawning quiet, as if the world was already napping and he was just joining in. But this story takes place in the early days of winter when Dwayne's naps were long, but not too long. He had awoken late in the morning to a sunny day that painted the snowy landscape in dazzling ivory hues. Dwayne sauntered over to the mouth of his cave and snapped off a hanging icicle for breakfast. Then, without a second thought and without even a plan, he continued walking out of his home, still groggy, licking his icicle pop, looking about, but not really looking, just feeling the warm sunshine on his nose. Eventually, Dwayne reached the fabulous beach. It, too, was snow-covered, making it indistinguishable from the rest of the icy landscape. But it still sloped at the perfect angle, so Dwayne flopped to the ground on his back and stared out at the mainly frozen ocean. He felt at peace, free of care and still slightly dozy from his nap. A glint from the direction of the shipwreck caught Dwayne's attention. Dwayne was fairly certain it was the sunlight hitting Cece's metal telescope atop the slanted deck. He smiled and waved just in case Cece was now watching him. Minutes later, a tiny black spot arose in the sky above the shipwreck, growing bigger and bigger as it came nearer. Soon, Dwayne was able to see its wings and then Cece's big eyes. She landed beside him on the snow. "Hello, Cece. It's good to see you." "I will not stay long, Dwayne the polar bear. There is work to get back to." "And what work is that?" asked Dwayne. "I am conducting experiments for the advancement of knowledge toward the benefit of all," she replied. "What are you doing?"
"I am lying on the beach, licking an icicle pop and feeling the sunshine on my nose," said Dwayne. "Would you care to join me?"
And before Cece had time to answer, Dwayne broke the icicle in two and held out one half for her. Cece hesitated, not entirely sure what she should do. Perhaps you may think that taking the icicle pop is the obvious response, but Cece was neither experienced nor comfortable in social situations. Unlike Hansom, for example, who was relaxed in both musk-ox and non-musk-ox interactions, Cece could never quite grasp what was expected. Whether it was her inexperience that caused her discomfort, or her discomfort that led to her inexperience, remained to be proven. Cece was still trying to figure out a proper experiment to examine it. In the meantime, Cece took a chance by accepting the half icicle pop from Dwayne, despite knowing that the icicle pop did not interest her in the least, as well as having to resist the temptation to point out that drinking a glass of water would be a much more efficient alternative with exactly the same benefits in nutrition. But then Dwayne smiled after she took the icicle pop, and Cece gave a small, awkward smile in return. She knew she had made the right choice. The owl and the polar bear stared out at the mainly frozen ocean without speaking.
The world was silent but for Dwayne's loud slurping and Cece's much quieter nibbling. When Dwayne finished his icicle pop, he let out a great big sigh. Cece, again, did not know how to respond. Sighs could mean many things. She looked over at Dwayne to study his face. "Are you disappointed, Dwayne the polar bear? Was the icicle pop not to your satisfaction?" "Yes, it was. It was very delicious." "Oh, then are you frustrated? Do you wish you had not shared half the icicle pop with me so that there would have been more deliciousness for you to enjoy?" "Not at all. I was happy to share with you, Cece." "Oh, then is it longing you feel? Do you fear that it was the last icicle pop you'll ever come across? Because I can tell you that is highly unlikely, scientifically speaking." "I know, Cece. I'm sure there will be lots and lots of icicle pops this winter." "Oh," said Cece. Her large eyes darted back and forth nervously. She'd exhausted all the explanations she could think of for Dwayne's sigh, except for one. It was the one which made her heart feel heavy. "Then you sighed because you must be bored. I understand. I will leave you to your day." Cece positioned herself to push off into flight as Dwayne reached out to gently touch her wing. Gentle or not, the move startled Cece, who pulled away in defense. Dwayne immediately retracted his paw. "I do not like to be touched, Dwayne the polar bear." "I understand that now, Cece, and I'm sorry for doing so," Dwayne added delicately. "But I wanted to say that I wasn't bored. I sighed because I was happy." "There are happy sighs?" "I believe so," replied Dwayne. Then he performed another sigh, but this time paying close attention to his feelings while he did it. "Yes, that was a happy sigh." "Oh," said Cece, "I will make note of that, and I will remember not to touch." The two friends held each other's gaze for a couple of blinks before returning once again to staring at the mainly frozen ocean. This quiet spell lasted a good long time. "Sometimes I like salty tastes," said Dwayne suddenly, apropos of nothing. "Not always, very little really, but sometimes." Cece was about to point out that salt is not something polar bears need to seek out in their diet, and that another word for salt is sodium, and the chemical element of sodium is Na, and that polar bears will get their necessary dietary sodium just from the foods they eat. But she didn't, because she was practicing listening. "I've noticed," Dwayne continued, "that when the mainly frozen ocean is just the cold, cold ocean and I swim over to visit you, sometimes I can taste the salt in the water if I splash too much. But if I walk over to visit you when the cold, cold ocean becomes the mainly frozen ocean, like it is now, and if I bend down to break a piece of the ice to eat, I can't taste the salt anymore." Cece controlled the urge to blurt out how most of the sea salt is forced down when the ice forms in winter, so that the ocean water below the ice becomes dense with salt, which makes it heavier, and so it sinks. She also resisted explaining that if the salt was in the ice, there might not actually be ice because the salt lowers the freezing point by absorbing the energy from around it, causing the ice to melt. Cece thought that all of this was very good information, but still she said nothing and continued to listen. "I guess what I'm saying," said Dwayne, "is that I love icicle pops. I really, really, really love icicle pops. But sometimes I wonder what it would be like to have icicle pops that taste different. Not always, but sometimes." And this is when Cece was glad she waited and listened before she spoke, because she now knew she could offer something helpful to Dwayne. "Would you like to conduct some taste experiments, Dwayne the polar bear?" "I think I would, Cece, but I don't know what that means exactly, so I can't say I would like it for sure." "Fair enough," said the snowy owl. "Meet me at the shipwreck and I will show you what I had in mind." Cece flew off toward the shipwreck while Dwayne walked across the mainly frozen ocean, led by his growing curiosity. When he arrived in the windowed room at the back of the shipwreck, Cece had already set up the big wooden table with many items. There was a tray filled with icicles, a silver bowl, and a spoon. There was a pail with a mallet, a small dish, and three cups. The dish contained a pinch of salt. The three cups contained dried blackberries, huckleberries, and raspberries, all separately soaking in warm water. "So what do I do, Cece?" asked Dwayne, very intrigued. Let's begin with salt tasting because that's what started this. Grab an icicle and sprinkle some salt on it. I will take notes of what we learn. Duane did exactly what Cece instructed and then tasted his salt-flavored icicle pop. His face scrunched up tightly and his tongue was hanging out. Blah, I don't think I like that, he said. Duly noted, agreed Cece. Also, I think the salt made my icicle pop melt too soon. Well observed, Duane the polar bear, said Cece, which made Duane feel very proud. Let's try berries next. They've been soaking, so they will be juicy now. I like berries, Duane said happily. But as you can imagine, when he tried to add some raspberries onto the second long, thin icicle pop that he grabbed, they all quickly slid off. Cece had already predicted in her head that this might happen, which is why she had placed the other items on the table. I would like to make a suggestion. She then proceeded to guide Duane in making of a new ice treat. The remaining icicles were put into the pail, and with the mallet, Duane hammered them and crushed them into something like snow, but still with the icy crunch he preferred. Duane scooped all of it into the silver bowl. This time, when he added the berries, they all sat on the crushed ice along with their sweet juices. Duane picked up the spoon and dug in. Oh, the smile that spread over Duane's face. This may have been the most delicious thing he had eaten in his entire life. Icy and juicy and sweet and crunchy, he closed his eyes and gave a long, Duly noted, said Cece again. Duane's eyes suddenly widened because he finally understood what conducting experiments for the advancement of knowledge toward the benefit of all truly meant, and he was grateful. In fact, he was so grateful that his strongest impulse was to give Cece a big hug as a way of saying thanks. He moved toward her, but then he stopped. He remembered that Cece didn't like to be touched. So instead of a hug, he just looked at her and smiled and blinked three times. Cece smiled and blinked three times back. For her, it was the perfect way to say thank you and you're welcome. Duane went back to eating his delicious new ice dessert, which he was inspired to call a snow delight. His eyes closed in the simple enjoyment of it. A large, loud sigh followed, but it did not come from Duane. This time it came from Cece, and Duane knew from the moment he heard it that it was a happy sigh.